Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen how important it is to persevere. And it's necessary for us to persevere so that we can fulfill the plan of God for our life, the purpose of God in our life. Because we all have a destiny. We've heard it, you know, somebody, Wendy was just up here saying it earlier. We have a destiny, we have a plan for our life that God, you know, he already had planned this, he had determined this destiny for us before even the creation of the world. And each one of us are important to God's ultimate plan of bringing all things in heaven and on earth under the headship or the lordship of his Son, Jesus Christ. We serve a great God, and he wants to accomplish great things. And how's he going to do that? Through us. That's his plan. That's the way he works it out. God wants to accomplish things on this earth, so he has his people here on this earth to do it. We have the ability through him to change the world. We really do. We are here to invade this world as part of God's army, not to retreat, not to surrender, not to hide, but to go out, to speak out, to act out, and you know, and to be God's voice, God's hands, God's feet, God's personality, God's character out into this world. So far, we've seen that if we're going to be successful in our calling and overcoming all the trials and hardships, that we need to persevere. Perseverance is what separates success from failure. That's the dividing line, because if we don't continue on, if we don't press on, often we will fail. Perseverance is how the victory that is promised to those who are in Christ is attained. And perseverance is how we cast aside defeat. Hebrews 10:3 tells us you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Every one of us here has the ability through Christ to be one of those who are standing when the battle is over. I love those movies where you see this battlefield and it's just nothing but bodies everywhere. And then you see a few people walking through and you see the devastation, but you see that there are those who somehow made it through. And that's us. That's what God has called. That's what he has determined for us. That we are to be the ones who are standing. We are to be the ones who don't give up, who persevere. Last week we looked at some of the things that will help us to persevere in our race and our calling from God. I'm not going to get into all those so we can move along, but they're on last week's message, which is always available. What I want to do today is look at some of the benefits that we get when we persevere, when we walk in our destiny, when we walk it out and we keep on going. There are certain things that are going to happen. And if you think about it, when you're out applying for a job, when you're, you know, one of the most important things you want to find out when you go out there is what are the benefits of working in this place? I mean, we don't go to a job that's terrible. We don't want to get hired in at some dump that treats its employees terrible and there's no future. That's not what we want. So we go there and we go for an interview typically, or we find out from other people and we say, well, what's the job like? What are we going to do there? What's the pay going to be like? Is there room for advancement? Do I have a future there? Is there health care provided? I mean, and so many other things. We want to know what the benefits are. Well, there are a lot of benefits that we will receive if we persevere in doing God's will. If we press on, and if we fight the good fight. The first thing I want to look at in Romans 5:3, it tells us that perseverance produces character. Character is the true essence of who we are, our inner being. It's a combination of everything that's come in us, our carnal nature, which was influenced by our upbringing, by the world around us, and even the evil things that happen to us or around us that we've seen. But it also includes our divine nature, the influence that we have from God, from the Holy Spirit, from God's Word, from God's people. It's the sum total of our thoughts, of our motivations, of our attitudes, of our feelings, of our actions. It's all this. You bring it all together, and what happens on the inside is it's building character. And it determines who we really are, what we're really like. It's not something that's easily seen by others. You can't see character. When we see other people and we get to know them, the first thing that we see is their personality. See, personality and character are two different things. Personality is outside. It's the distinguishing behavioral traits, the attitudes, the habits. It's the outward person, and the character is what's inside, what makes the real person. Anybody can put on a false front and have a nice personality, but they can be awful. Our country went through a whole season of personality training, people learning how, if you remember the Dale Carnegie courses, which there was nothing wrong with them, they were good as long as you were trying to do it for the right reasons, just to be friendly and to be more outgoing. But some people learned how to build up a personality that other people could trust so they could con them. Because, you know, you meet this person, you think they're absolutely wonderful. That's what confidence people do. They give you confidence in them because of their outward signs, their outward personality that they show you. But inside, their character is terrible. We usually get judged by our personality, the way we are outwardly. Remember when God was getting ready to anoint King David? He was going to put him as king over Israel to replace Saul. And he sent Samuel to go see Jesse, and he told him it was one of Jesse's sons that he was going to, wanted him to anoint as the king. And when Samuel saw Jesse's son, Eliab, he thought, oh, surely, in fact, he said, surely the Lord's anointed stands before the Lord. This has got to be him. Look at, he's handsome, he's tall, he's rugged looking, he looks strong. But this is what God said. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God is concerned with the inner man, the inner woman, the heart or the character of a person. Our character is an expression of our heart. Our character, what's inside of us, it's what we say when we say he's got a good heart. He's really a good person. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with our character. And God is not content that we have just a good character. He wants us to have the best. He wants us to have an excellent character. He wants us to participate in the divine nature. That's in 2 Peter 1:4. He talks about that. Remember in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. You see, God wants us to be like him. There's a scripture that says, be perfect as I am perfect. And we're not going to be perfect, but he's given us the ideal, the thing that we strive towards. Romans 8:29 says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God's plan is that we take on the character of his Son. This should be our goal, to be more like Jesus. It's pretty simple, right? To be more like Christ, to be more Christ-like, we say. That's what everything that we go through is all about. We're being raised up, we're being trained by God to develop the character of his Son, Jesus, in us. All of our trials, all of our temptations, all of our suffering, all of our relationships, all the things that we go through, all the problems and struggles that we face, as we press on, as we persevere, God will use all those things and work them all together for the good. What is the real good? What's the greatest good? the greatest good is for us to be built into the image of His Son, Jesus. So, in all these things that we go through, we have to persevere, just like Jesus did. Just like Paul did. As we persevere, our character will show itself. It'll show up. It'll be displayed as we go through the great trials of life. But we need to know that our character is not formed in those great trials because they're not all that common. Our character is formed in the simple, day-to-day things, the duties, the things that we are supposed to do, the things that we, when we do what is right, even when it may not seem that important. That's how our character develops. It's a development. It's a process. Your character is still being formed, every one of you, every one of us. We're not done. We're nowhere near finished. Is anybody in here like Jesus? Has everybody here got it together where you can say, yes, I'm like Jesus. I'm ready to go right now. I'm going to help, I'll sit up at the throne and help out. God needs me. I don't think so. I don't think any of us are at that point where we could say we're like Jesus. So obviously the development of our character is not finished. And that's why we continue to persevere. We continue to press on, and we deal with all these issues in our life, and we try to respond to them in the right way and do the right thing even when there's no one around to see it. That's what makes us grow. When we are faithful in the little things, then we'll be ready when the bigger things come. That's the way it works. Jesus said, if we are faithful in little, then we can be trusted with much. There are no great principles for great things and little principles for little things. It's the same principles, the same Word of God. We don't have two books, two Word of Gods. Oh, use this one for when the big things hit. And use this one for your daily life. It all works together. The same godly principles for everything. And as we persevere in our calling, we are being changed from glory to glory, and the character of Christ is developing inside of us. We saw last week that suffering is one of the things that produces or develops perseverance. And it goes on to say in the same scripture that we read in Romans 5:4 that it says perseverance produces character. Which we just saw, we just now talked about. But it goes on then from there and says, and then that produces hope. Character produces hope, but it's because of the perseverance. As we persevere, that hope begins to come out. As we persevere and press on, our hope in Christ gets stronger and stronger. As we run the race and we don't get weary, as we sang in that one song today, as we see the finish line drawing closer and closer, what happens is that our hope becomes more and more confident. As we press on, we realize that God is with me. I can do this. I can see God working in my life. And now my hope is for even greater things. I become more confident, more certain. I have a more confident expectation. And that's what hope is. And that is the hope that God wants us to have, a confident expectation of things to come, an unshakable confidence. Hope is faith in the future tense. Our hope is in Christ, and it's a certainty. As we persevere in Christ, God Himself just puts hope in us. Remember, at one time, we were without God and without hope, in darkness. Now we are with God and with hope. He's given us hope. Plans to give us a hope and a future. Remember that? The object of our hope, of course, is the resurrection, is our salvation, the resurrection, being with God for all eternity. That's the final frontier, the final finish line. But just as we have hope for a future in heaven with God, we also have hope while we are here on this earth. God wants us to be confident of Him working in us, confident of, you know, the things that He wants us to do, confident of His will being accomplished, confident of His Holy Spirit being here to help us. He wants us to have that same confident expectation because He is transforming us in the here and now. He's here. He's with us. He wants to use us. He wants to bless us. He tells us He'll never leave us. He'll always be with us. And so He wants us to have this hope about how things are, not just in way in the future, but He wants us to walk in this confident expectation, this hope for now. To know that our life is not meaningless. To know that our life has purpose. To know that we're heading somewhere. We're growing. We're developing. Things are happening. God is doing stuff in our life. He wants us to begin to see that we're making a difference. We can make a difference. We can help other people. We can do good. We can bless God. When we realize, somebody talked about it today. I think it was Wendy. It was, you know, we have this hope because we can realize that we are loved by God. We have worth. We have value. You are valuable. Every one of you here, every one of us are valuable in God's plans. There's no peace. You know, I remember when I was young, I was probably like 16 or 17, I worked on a carburetor. I took it out. In those days, you could actually work on cars. And I took apart my carburetor because it wasn't working. It was getting stuck. And I took it apart and I put it back together. And I had a couple of pieces left over. But you know what? It worked. And it worked great. I still, to this day, I can't figure out how in the heck that happened. But apparently there were some pieces in there that just really didn't need to be there. I have a tankless hot water heater at home. I did the same thing on that. I've worked on that and I've taken out some pieces and it works. Sometimes people take out their appendix, their tonsils, things like that, maybe their gallbladder. I mean, yeah, they should stay in there, but somehow it works. Somehow we still function. But you know what? I want to tell you that when God created you and He made these plans for you, you were never considered unnecessary. Never. You were important to God before you were born. You were important to God when you were born, and you're important to God today. There is no throwaway people. There's no throwaway tissue. God wants us to know that we belong. We belong to Him. We belong to His body, to one another. And that should give us hope. All these things become a reality as we persevere, and God will give all of us hope because we realize that there are greater things still yet to come. It's not done. We're not done. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's your relationship with God, whether it's your family, whether it's the ministry that you've had, whether it's the people you've talked to, whether it's just your life, it's not done. It's not over till it's over. And as long as we have life in us and breath in us, God is still working in us. And He wants us to know that that he is still here with us. And he wants us to have this hope inside of us. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. As we persevere, this hope should grow. And we will see more and more and more of those things, those wonderful things that God has promised for us. The next thing that we see is that perseverance begins to build, or it builds maturity in us. James 1:4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Maturity is a process of growth which can only happen as we persevere through our trials, through those temptations, through those problems, through those life experiences that we go through. As we respond to them, as we deal with them, that's what determines how fast we're going to mature. If we avoid our problems, if we run from our problems, if we bury ourselves in drugs or sex or money or whatever it is, partying, whatever it might be, we don't mature. That's why we still know some people who are 30, 40 years old, they still act like kids. True godly maturity comes as we learn to apply God's word, God's principles to our daily living, to our daily situations, to all the things that we go through, every problem that we face. And as we persevere through our relationships, and as we work together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we will see that maturity will begin to accelerate. God will use these relationships that we have with other people like iron sharpening iron. And he will use our relationships to build us and refine us. Those areas where we think, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to get better. Well, figure out what you can do to make it better. How can I change? Not how can I make him change. How can I make her change? How can I change so that this relationship will work? Learning to love. Learning to be humble. Learning to serve. Learning to trust. Learning to put other people's needs above our own. By persevering in those kind of things, God will bring great maturity into our life. And we will end up being a tremendous blessing to God, to other people, and to ourselves. When we walk in immaturity, I happened to see a little section of a show the other night, and the girl in this show, she's a mess, and everything around her is a mess. And her mom ended up shooting somebody because this somebody was going to expose something this girl did. Then her mom ended up committing suicide, and the girl just says, my life is a train wreck. And she had it right. Her life is a train wreck because she was immature. She still hadn't learned how to take responsibility. She hadn't learned how to love others. She hadn't learned a lot of things. And she definitely wasn't operating in biblical principles. She probably rejected every good thing she had ever heard. She was only out for herself. And because of that, when we're only out for ourselves, our life will be a train wreck. It's not the way God made us to function. He made us to function to serve, honor, and bring glory to him, and to serve and love one another. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. And when we learn to do that, and we follow the biblical principles that God gives us that helps us to do that, to accomplish that, we start growing by leaps and bounds. We mature. We need to remember that we can't mature ourselves. Just as an apple can't mature itself, all of this maturing that is done, even though we do our part, it's really God who's working in us. It's the Holy Spirit who's working in us. God will mature us at the perfect time. Every step, every level of our maturity is determined by God. Just like it says in the Word that one plants, one waters, but it's only God who can bring the growth. In our life, it's only God who can bring the growth. He brings the growth as we follow His ways. He'll set the growth process in motion just like He does an apple on a tree. We co-labor with Him by persevering in doing those things that He's called us to do and not giving up, not neglecting, not rejecting, but doing the things He's called us to do. Our goal, once again, is to take on the character of Christ, and we can never stop running after Him. That should always be our goal. But we also need to rest in the fact that if we are living up to, if we are living up to what God, what we have been given by God, then we are at the level of maturity that we should be at. We shouldn't be freaking out. We shouldn't be anxious. Well, how come I'm not like him? I'm not like her. Why? You know, I mean, we're all at different stages. The apple does not get anxious about how ripe it is. Did you know that? It just sits there on the branch, and it lets the sun and the water and the tree and the world and God's creation develop and determine its maturity, its ripeness. Others may want to eat that apple quicker, and so they're wishing it would get mature fast, just like other people may want to use us. We don't need to be anxious where we are. If we're following what we know to be true, what God has called us to do, if we're staying connected to the source, just like the apple staying connected to that branch, the source of our nourishment, but in our case, it's God. If we stay connected, we'll be just fine. And we'll grow at the rate we're supposed to grow at. We'll mature at the rate and at the time. I don't expect a 15-year-old to be as mature as a 30-year-old, and I don't expect a 30-year-old to be as mature as a 50 or a 60 or a 70-year-old. But you know what? It's not just age. I have seen 15-year-olds that are just as mature as 30-year-olds. I'm sure we all have. We've probably all seen people who are in their 20s that have a lot more sense than people who are in their 60s and 70s. It depends on how we use what we got from God. How do we do it? How do we follow? How do we live our life for God? Are we really following after His word, His principles? Staying with the theme of apples, orchards and that, looking at fruit, we see that as we persevere, we begin to bear fruit. That's another benefit of perseverance. John 15, 1 through 8 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, persevere, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. We just talked about that. It must remain or persevere in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or persevere with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. At least nothing worthwhile. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain or persevere in me, and my words remain, or in other words, you persevere in my word, Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Then in verse 16 it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, that will persevere. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. God has called us to do great things. He has created us to be world changers, to produce great fruit, abundant fruit, fruit that will last. That's how he designed us. That was his intent when he created us, when he planned for us. And as we persevere and grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ and his people, and as we follow his word and are led by his Spirit, we will have tremendous amount of fruit. Did you ever go to a good fruit tree and just begin picking off the fruit? And man, there is so much. I love going to apple orchards and picking apples, and there's way too many apples on a mature tree to pick off, you know, there in a day. I mean, for a person, I mean, you'd be filling up bags and bags and trying to, you know, they used to do this thing at one of the apple orchards where you could as many apples as you could fit in your bag. You know, they gave you this big plastic bag. Man, I came up with all kinds of ways to try to build that bag up bigger and bigger. Did you ever see a 30-foot high bag that was only supposed to be foot high? No, not quite like that. But I did jam a lot of apples in there. And you know what? You couldn't even tell that I took apples off the tree because there was so much fruit that was born there. John 15:2, which we just read there, an earlier part of that, tells us some of the hard things that we're going to have to go through. It says that God is going to prune us. That's a hard thing, to have God prune us. But when we get pruned, God is saying, don't give up. Persevere through that, because he knows what he's doing. He knows how to prune. You know, my wife loves to garden. She likes to go out in the yard and she likes to cut down plants. I'm afraid to cut those plants. I am. Because I know if I cut them, she's going to say, what did you do? You ruined my plant, you know? I'll cut the wrong thing in the wrong place. Everything will just be laying all over the place and they'll all be dead. But God knows how to prune exactly right. He knows what to take off. And the things that he prunes off, he removes those things which are not fruitful in our life, things which can hinder the growth, or things that maybe are growing but they're just so small that it's hardly worthwhile. So he prunes, and then there's more abundant growth. If you know anything about pruning, and I know a little, not a lot, but I do know that as you prune, you get a greater harvest. Is that right, people that know about stuff like that? It makes it even more fruitful. And that's one of the benefits there of persevering through that. As we persevere through that pruning, through those times when it seems to us it's pretty rough, if we persevere through that, we'll end up with even more fruit. One last thing I want to look at. Finally, we come to the ultimate reward. And it's much more than 50% cash back bonus. Romans 2:7. To those who by perseverance in doing good work seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. God has the crown of life. It's already sitting there waiting for you, your crown. You got your name on it. He's got your size. I got a big head. I want my own crown because I can't take somebody else's crown. It won't fit. I'll get a headache. You know, they have those one size fits all. They don't fit me. So I have to get special hats, you know. God has a crown for us, designed specifically for you. It's not some cheap, mass-made thing. And that crown is there for you if you persevere, if you get there. There was a man by the name of Henry Morrison. He was a missionary, and he served for over 40 years faithfully in Africa. He was coming back home to the U.S. This is a true story. And he was on the same boat as President Roosevelt. When they pulled into the harbor, a band began to play, and all these people were there, and they were cheering, and you know, they were there to welcome President Roosevelt. And after he got off, the band stopped playing, and the people stopped cheering, and everybody left. And Henry Morrison got off the boat, and there was nobody there for him. He got a little bit discouraged. He said, boy, that would have been nice if maybe I'd gotten a little bit of recognition for spending 40 years serving God in Africa. And then he heard this little small voice. Spoke to him and said, don't worry, Henry, you're not even home yet. It's just a stopover. We have a tremendous reward waiting for us. It's waiting for us in heaven, and it would make any earthly reward seem cheap, artificial by comparison. We don't serve God for the rewards here on this earth. We may get many, but that's not why we serve Him. We serve Him because we love Him. We serve Him because that's what we do, because we belong to Him. We don't do it because of what we'll get, like I said, but we will get much. Pressed down and running over in abundance. But that's not why we serve. Our great reward will be able to be spending eternity with Him in heaven. That is our real reward. That's our real reward. All of us will experience times of discouragement. Low times, down times, times when we're in the valley, times when we will be more than ready to give up. Every one of you are going to face those times, whether you're young or old, expect them. Times when we can't seem to hear God. And the only thing that will keep us going during those times is our determination to persevere. Because of the commitment we have already made. We need to know how to persevere. We have to possess this quality. All the other traits of being a Christian are important. Many of them are essential. And most of them probably even seem more important and more obvious than perseverance. But if we don't persevere, what good are they? What good is love if we give up on it? What good is faith if we give up on it? What good is hope if we give up on it? What good is serving others if we give up on it? What good is loving God with all of our heart if we give up and don't finish the race? We can't give up. We can't give up. We have to persevere. When Paul told us in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 that he had fought the good fight and finished the race, he was envisioning his crown of glory. He knew it was coming. He was able to look back and see the fruit of his labor. He had matured greatly in the Lord. His character had developed and become much more like Christ's. He knew that his hope was certain. Why did he have all those things? Because he persevered. Because he didn't quit. Because he never, ever gave up. not only Paul, but there are many, many other saints that have gone on ahead of us. Some of your parents, some of your friends, some people here at this church that have followed Christ right up until the end. Never gave up, never quit, made it home. Where the crowds were cheering. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those who've gone on before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, especially the ones that are designed for us, that the devil has schemed and put into our life. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run like your life depended on it, because it does. If I could have the prayer team come forward. We can never, ever give up. Maybe you've been feeling that. Maybe you've been thinking, you know, I don't know if I can make it as a Christian. I don't know if I can make it in my marriage. I don't know if I can make it as a parent. I don't know if I can make it in trying to do what is right. Don't give up. Don't give up. Work as unto the Lord. Do it unto Him. Honor Him with your commitment to persevere. Let these guys lay hands on you. Let there be a touch, an anointing from God for perseverance. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that you're right there with us, that you're right there by our side, that you go out ahead of us, and you also protect our rear guard. You're our rear guard. Lord, you watch over us. You provide for us. You protect us. Lord, with knowing all that, I pray, Lord God, that we would never, ever give up. That we would be part of that group, last man, last woman standing. When the battlefield is strewn with those who have given up, that we would stand firm. That we would still be standing. That we would be the ones there to help the wounded. That we would be the one there to speak life to those who are struggling. That we would be the ones there that would be faithful, running the race, fighting the good fight, right up to the last day, right up to that finish line, and that we would enter victoriously into heaven and receive our crown of life. I pray that each one of us here, each one hearing this message, would be one that would receive the crown of life. And Lord, I know the only way we can do that is to persevere. So help us to persevere. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.